Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. So you think you're ready to get married. You love each other. You're ready to start your lives together. But did you talk about money? How much do you have? Debt, credit scores, spending habits. Well, if you haven't, you may want to tell the church to hold on until you do. This is part one of a two-part look at how we love during this Valentine's Day week. And my guests are Tara Jackson, personal finance expert and author of Four Financial Languages, and relationship counselor James Marshall. Lines are open, and I know you want to talk about this one. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. James, thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be back with you.
And Tara, thanks for being on the program.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. All right, James, in your counseling, please don't mention any names.
Yeah, we got to keep the names confidential.
That's right.
I can't call people out.
No, there is no calling of anyone out. But James, tell me, what is the number one, two, or three money issue that couples are wrestling with when you counsel them?
Yeah, if I was to put a number one on it, it would be that spouses aren't keeping their commitment as it relates to financial arrangements.
No.
No. You would never think it.
Clutch the pearls. Is that really happening?
But they're not. They say they're going to do one thing. I'm going to pay half of this, but the money doesn't hit the account. You said you was going to pay for this, but you now claim you don't have the money to do it. And so they just go back and forth because they're not sticking to what they said they were going to do. At the end of the day, all financial relationships, or I should say all relationships, and when it relates to money, the real issue is that money in a relationship represents the value system under which that relationship operates. And when couples don't see eye to eye on what they consider to be valuable, then they don't connect well around their money.
Why is that number one, and why is that one so difficult? If you tell your betrothed, or in this case, the person that you're married to, your spouse, that, yes, honey, I'm going to put the $500 into the account, and they don't. Why don't they? I mean, that's almost like one of the things where you loan your friend $500, your boy.
right.
I'm gonna pay you next Tuesday.
Exactly.
You know, but your wife or your husband?
Because things come up, and they have, you know, a different set of values. So if it comes down to me having a little bit more money to get that vehicle I want, or to invest, or to get something off of Amazon versus, you know, me putting my portion of the rent in the account, then I'm going to go with the things that I want. And then there's always this hidden understanding that you got it. You'll be all right. You got it. You know, you got the money. So what they do is they operate with that kind of mindset that, you know, you got the money, you can take care of that, and let me just, you know, deal with what I need to deal with over here.
You know, Tara, you often talk about in your new book, Four Financial Languages, is this a situation where the husband is speaking French and the wife isn't speaking at all? Is this a communications issue?
Really? Yeah. The wife isn't speaking at all? Okay.
I just thought I'd throw that out there for you.
Okay. Well, to go back to what my lovely brother said, they lie. People lie. We have the best intentions. But sometimes, you know, I'm going to save $500 a month towards our house. But if I'm a spender, I have no real concept of that. Because if you tell me not to spend money, I'm going to freak out, and I'm going to spend my money, your money, and everybody else's money. So I have to learn how to spend on savings. But couples aren't having that conversation because they don't understand each other's financial language. They don't even understand their own financial language. And so that's why you have perhaps savers that are making this spenders that are making this unreasonable commitment to save more money when they're innately a spender. It's nothing wrong with being a spender. Overspending is wrong. Oversaving is wrong. Overinvesting is wrong. Overgiving is wrong. I find that the biggest problem is that there's not a conversation about what financial language you are. They're more concerned about their love language, you know, who needs more sex and who needs more attention, but nobody's talking about, well, I speak savings, so I need budget, control, safety, security, versus a spender that needs the pleasure principle of spending money. So I need to learn how to spend on saving, investing, and giving. And so that's the biggest problem that I found, is that they're speaking different languages. They don't know they're speaking different languages, yet they argue profusely because they don't understand what each other's saying financially.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about love and money. Before you say I do, what you need to know about your finances before you get Mary, you know what they say, no romance without finance. So if you're dating and you begin to think about these things, James, when should you have the conversation about credit scores, debt, the way that you think about money? Should you all lump it together? Should you talk about these things separately? Do you talk about them once you say, I love you? Should you talk about them when you're just starting to get to like each other?
Well, I mean, I think you need to talk about things in responsible stages. You don't want to obviously divulge all of your information on the very first date. You know, here's my credit score. Here is my, you know, my debt. Here is my spending. You don't want to give all that up front. However, you do need to talk about those things on stages. See, what most couples do is they wait until after they say I do. Mm. And now they want to start having these tough conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think one important thing to do is to pay attention to what people are doing with their money. Mm-hmm. Just watch them. You know, if every weekend he says, yeah, you know, I'm ordering a new part for my bike, or, you know, every weekend he's saying, you know what, I don't have the money to do this, or she's saying, I don't have the money to do this. You want to pay attention to them because, again, actions speak louder than words. And so they're not only going to say what they think when it comes to finances, but they're going to show you how they live as it relates to their finances.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about love and money before you say I do. Mike calling from Beltsville. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I just recently started dating a young lady, and it's been about 7 months, and we started talking about, you know, potential of, you know, spending our lives together, and of course the topic of finance came up. So I budget every month. I live well below my means. I have a target date of when I plan to retire. She, on the other hand, when we first started talking about it, was her mindset was, you know, I'm going to work until the good Lord calls me home. Mm-hmm. And although she's trying to save her, she's all talking about changing her mindset in terms of maybe this is something I need to start thinking about. I was wondering, well, what would be a good approach for us to kind of meet in the middle?
Tara?
I got this for you. So you're a saver. You are an absolute saver. You need safety, security, control. You like the word budget. That means that you have control over your money. You like seeing your money grow. And if your savings go below a certain threshold, I think you'll probably freak out. As for her, she is a spender. That's why she has no problem with working until the Lord calls her home. And so when you say negative trigger words to her, like budget, inside she's going to cringe. And you'll probably find her avoiding topics of saving. And she's going to tell you what you want to hear so that you all can move on and move on to the next topic. So just respect her language. She's a spender. No, she's a spender. Tell her how she can spend money on savings. Look, especially we save on purpose. I am a spender. Saving for a rainy day. It's raining outside. Can we spend money? I'm that chick. So to sit here and say, oh, I have a 5-year goal and I'm going to retire and I'm going to put away $1,000. Yeah, but if I want a specific goal, I save on purpose. We want to go on vacation. We want to do this. We need to save $5,000 towards this trip. I can do that. I can spend money on my savings account so that I can spend future. She will save in order to spend later. She's probably not going to save and not know when she's going to be able to touch her money.
But hold on for a minute. I have to help Mike out so that he doesn't get, like, popped in the head. Because you said, tell her how she can spend money. I don't know a woman alive who will allow a man that she is dating to tell her how to spend her money.
Okay, you don't tell her that. But if you all coming together, you need to talk in her language. That's like if he speak Greek and she spoke Spanish. If they want to communicate, one of them's going to have to learn the language so they can communicate appropriately. Who's going to be the mature one to learn the language?
Mm-hmm.
He is a saver. So if you know that your words are triggering negative triggers for this woman that you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with, why not find ways to communicate? That's why I wrote different examples on how to communicate with spenders, savers, investors, and givers when you are not their language or you don't speak their language.
James, help Mike.
I'm not saying that she can't learn how to speak saving, but if she speaks spending right now and you speak savings, you're going to trigger a lot of negative emotions and she's going to retaliate and spend your money, her money, and everybody else's money.
Oh, my. James, what do you think about that?
Well, Mike, you got to make some decisions. You know, you're not going to change a person. That's the one thing that I think we all have to accept at the end of the day. People are going to be who they are. People only change when they want to change.
Yes.
And so you're not going to force her into seeing money the way you see it. So it's going to have to come down to you all accepting one another and then you all learning how to make collaborative decisions. You know, collaborative decision says it's not my way. It might not be your way, but it's a win-win scenario for the both of us. Mm-hmm. And I think what Tara has been telling you is that you got to understand what her language is. She's got to understand what your language is. But most importantly, y'all got to both agree on what y'all are going to find to be valuable together. And make some actions on that.
Mike, thank you so much. Hang in there, brother. Thank you so much.
We'll pray for you now.
Yes, absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, James, you've got an event coming up that really kind of focuses on some of the issues we're talking about tonight.
Yes. So on February 22nd, at the First Baptist Church of Glenarden, they're having an event called Love Jones. And we're talking about everything as it relates to dating, marriage, and all stuff relationships. And we're getting into the nitty gritty. So I'll be there. I'll be the guest speaker at the event. Make sure that you be there. Doors open at 6:00. Event starts at 6:30. But we're going to get into the nitty gritty.
And that, what's the date of that?
It's February the 24th.
The 22nd. Yeah, we're going to post that on the on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 in addition to this particular podcast. We're talking about all those things. I hope they have security there. Because I think they're really going to need that with that conversation. Woo. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Jacques. I think that's Jacques calling from Maryland. Jacques, is that right? Yes, go right ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I've been my wife for 41 years, and we believe in the finance and romance from day one. I knew that my wife was not a big spender, even though she worked at Garfinkel's when I met her.
Ooh.
Of course, you know, that had me apprehensive because I was working a low-paying job at D.C. government. I ended up getting the real estate business. We own a $500,000 home in Maryland and a home apartment building in D.C. that's worth about $1 million. We don't have no bad habits. We don't gamble. We don't drink. We don't do drugs. And I know this guy that's doing the church thing ain't going to like this, and we don't believe in tithing either. I think that ought to be something that ought to be illegal because it's a false hope that people get.
All right, hold on, Jock. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your finances. You don't tithe? Fine. I don't care why. All right? But what I do want to know is who handles the finances in your family. You handle.
I do because I'm the one that has the real estate mind, the math skills, and my wife. We go hand dancing 3 or 4 times a week, so we definitely have entertainment. We go out to get a lot of live musicians in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have a life besides just saving money because that's also important. You have to have some romance with it.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. and so we hand dance 3-4 times a week, and then we do that other thing.
Okay. Well, Jock, I appreciate that. I'd love to hear from your wife to see if she's just as happy as you are. But that you know, there we go. And see, thank you so much. And see, here's the thing, Tara. Do you have to have that conversation about who is going to run the show when it comes to finances?
Yeah, I mean, just like you would find out who's going to do any other things within the relationship. Like, I like to cook, but man, if I find a husband that loves to cook, I bet you he's gonna be the cook in the relationship. I have no problem with that. And so you, with any other relationship of who is going to do what do you want to do, what do you feel comfortable, it's the same thing with finances. His wife may be okay with him dealing with finances because he's taking care of everything. She ain't got to worry about. All she knows is when she swipes that card, it doesn't get declined. She's good. And, you know, some people, it stresses them out about dealing with money. The other spouse is okay with it. So you have to have that communication. What I do agree with what he's saying is that there's love and romance. You can have what I call money dates. And money dates are not you sitting at the dining room table talking about your bills and what you can and can't spend. Money date is you go out for dinner. You go out for drinks. There is some intimacy involved. You talk about your dreams and goals, and you talk about how you're going to fund it. That's going to move the conversation as maybe we need to save more. Maybe we need to pay off debt. That is what's going to do. And in my book, I give you ideas of how you can have money dates every month and talk about a different subject.
Well, before I go to a break, how can people find you on the web, Tara?
You can go to madammoney.com, MadamMoney.com.
Madam Money. And you have a new website, as a matter of fact, James.
KindredHope.com.
KindredHope.com. All of the information about our guest will be posted on the website tonight after 8:30. In addition to the podcast, every podcast for The Daily Drum is on WHUR.com. So look, I'm going to take a break. Stay with us. If you're on the phone, hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretch has the original Quiet Storm next on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in about 15 seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about love and money. Before you say I do, this is part one of a two-part look at how we love during this Valentine's Day week. My guests are Tara Jackson, personal finance expert and author of 4 Financial Languages, and relationship counselor James Marshall. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Daryl, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Daryl.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed that a lot of the people are saying is that the first thing you need to know is to go into marriage counseling and talk about a pre-merge counseling and talk about your finances and everything. Bring it to the table. Don't hide anything. Me and my fiance is getting married June 20th.
Well, congratulations.
Hey.
Thank you. And that was one of the questions that we brought to the table. It's like, what are your debts? And I explained to her, you know, everything that was going on with me and what I had going on, and she explained to me what she had going on. But you have to be honest in the relationship and let them know up front, because you don't want to wait until the middle and decide to say, hey, you know, I owe the IRS $20,000. Can you help me?
Right.
Well, okay. Daryl, thank you so much. Congratulations. Keep us posted on how that goes. Let me go to Lavinia, calling from Bowie. Lavinia, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm 46 years old. And I guess I'm at the end of the road where the sense where I married in my 20s to a man. I was making maybe $60,000 at 23, 24 years old. And he was actually washing cars and sleeping on his brother's couch.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, he was good with money. And I wasn't. So I was working 7 days a week. He was working too. But somehow at the end, 15 years later at the divorce, I don't have making $90,000. By then I had no money saved, nothing. He pocketed all his money he saved. He only bought cash for things. We didn't work together with our finances. He let me do me and he did him. He did right by him, but I guess it's my responsibility. What I want to say is that I never learned good spending habits growing up. I grew up, I mean, I'm getting emotional because, you know, you grow up in a family where nobody has anything.
Right.
And you go out here and I say, okay, I'm going to work 7 days a week. I'm going to go do something. And yeah, I had the house. I had a car. I had food on the table. But I didn't have a dollar. No. I didn't have money in the account, $90,000. Now I'm divorced, lost everything, had to file bankruptcy. Still don't have good spending habits. My credit cards.
Well, Lavinia, hold on. Let me see what my guests have to say about that. Tara, please go right ahead.
I will definitely. Mm-hmm. One, I don't want you to feel like you're the only one. And I don't want you to suffer in silence. So the fact that you just acknowledge that makes you very powerful right now. And the reason why I say that is because now you can make a change. And since you know that you don't know, now you can start learning. First, by buying my book. How about that? You can start learning now. You can start saving something now. So we can't change what's in the past. We can't change that you did bad things with your money. All we can know is that God taught us one thing, if nothing else, is that there's resurrection. There is life after. So you're just going to have to start paying attention to the behaviors that put you in positions that you don't want to be in. So if spending all your money is not putting you in a good position, then maybe we don't spend all the money. Maybe we start paying ourselves first. Maybe we start saving something, a little bit of something, and then moving on up. But the best thing that you did was you just acknowledge that you just have a problem. And when you have a problem, you seek help and you learn more. So go to my website. I would love to touch base with you again, madammoney.com, and give you some resources to help you get on the right track with doing better or communicating better with your money and maybe learning another financial language that will serve you.
So here's another question, Lavinia. You're 46. You said you're divorced, and this is really something that I want to hear from you as it relates to talking to James. Are you dating now?
Yes, I date a lot.
That may or may not.
Yeah. No problem starting over.
Okay,
now.
That's all I need. This is why I ask. She's dating a lot. She is very emotional about this difficult history concerning her money and her finances. What should she do about having any conversations at all? She's dating a lot, so now she's just out there trying to, you know, halfway live her best life.
Right.
But I would imagine, Lavinia, you're doing this for a purpose because eventually you want to get hitched again, I'm guessing. Or not?
Yes, I mean, I'm meeting successful men who have their finances. Usually I back away from them because I don't feel worthy. You know, it's going deep, and I deal with people that I know don't have anything. I mean, I don't want to say that, but they have less, and I know they expect less out of me. I need to work on that because I don't feel like I'm worthy of a successful or a man who got his stuff together, because he's going to look at me. After he looks at the look, and he looks at my great personality, and I'm outgoing and everything, he's going to say, well, why is it like this? Why? You working 7 days a week, but you don't have this. Or, I don't
yeah.
know.
Lavinia,
that your name? Okay, Lavinia, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go to my website and you're going to email me, because we're going to put that the rest right there. And we just going to talk. I'm going to let the relationship expert.
We're going to have a conversation. Okay, but that's why I asked, because
Well, see,
the issue about feeling worthy, that's troublesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's why she is worthy. She's worthy because right. She's taking the time to look in the mirror and say, what can change about me so that I can create a better future? And see, what most people do is they get into a relationship, and when the relationship goes down, they blame the other person, and they mm-hmm. go into the next relationship still playing the victim card. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the thing I like about you, Lavinia, is that you're wise enough to say, hey, I need to get this area of my life right. And it's important that you take the time to actually do what Tara says and get the resources. She has a resource. You want to get connected to resources so that you can begin to strengthen this area of your life. Because it takes a healthy me to have a happy we.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that before you go into the next relationship, you not only look to your past to find out, how is my past going to set me up better to have a more successful future? And you've already started part of that process by looking at yourself, but you also need to look at the other person as well. Because at the end of the day, just because, you know, they may make a lot of money doesn't mean they manage their money well.
Come on, preach, brother.
And
preach.
So, you know, don't just look at yourself. You got to look at both sides of the spectrum and make sure that they have their stuff together as well in their disposition, in their attitude.
And remember, it's not the end of the world. You're only 47. This really is a new beginning for you. And I think it can happen. For you. So look, happy Valentine's Day week for you, Lavinia, and thank you so much for giving us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk about some specifics, Tara, because there are many different ways for couples to manage their money. In your opinion, what is the best way to manage accounts? Should there be a his, hers, and ours? Should it just be ours? And what is your opinion about having secret stashes, savings accounts, or that your spouse does not know about?
Well, I can tell you right now, if you're a saver and you're married to a spender, you more than likely have a secret stash.
Is that good?
That's just a reality. You probably won't admit it. And it really depends on the couple, right? There's no one size fits all. I've counseled several couples. One couple, they refuse to mesh anything together. They have separate accounts. One person pays a mortgage. The other person pays utilities. They do not combine. Never the two shall twine. And so there's another couple that I counsel, and they combine everything. They're very open with each other about the money, and they combine everything. So it really depends on you as a couple and your communication. Again, if a saver is married to a spender, and they know, because a spender, if we have access to the money, we gonna spend it. Mm-hmm. That's why I always tell a spender to have a stash where they can't get access to it. They set it and forget it. Because as long as I don't have access to the money, I can't spend what I don't have access to. And so savers get scared because if they have access to their money, we just going to go tap into their account. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called overdraft. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. And so when I believe that you should have together and each other separate. That's just my philosophy. But you may be in a relationship with someone else where you feel comfortable with combining all of that, or you may be in a situation where you don't want to combine nothing. It's your choice.
Okay. What about, it's one thing to have your own account. Do you think that having a secret stash that your spouse does not know about, do you think that that is wise? And if your spouse perhaps stumbles upon it, how should you handle that, James?
Mm. You know,
yeah, James.
I was going to throw it back to you, Tara. You know, I agree. I think you really got to pay attention to the health of the relationship. Obviously, if you're in an unhealthy relationship, then be wise. You know, don't be in love and be stupid.
Right.
But at the same time, I always encourage people that transparency and honesty gets you a lot further than just trying to hide things. What we need to do is we need to address why I feel uncomfortable being honest with you about my finances. Because if we address that, then the barrier is down for me to be more open and more honest with you about the finances. But you know, if I start this process of having these two separate lives, then eventually it's, you know, we're going to drift apart and I'm going to be in my own life over here and you're going to be in your own life over there. So we got to make sure that the relationship, we put the work in the relationship so the relationship is healthy enough where we can be transparent with one another.
I have to point something out. I agree with that. Also keep in mind that some of us women, we grew up with grandmothers who taught us to have our own stash, to have a secret stash. My grandmother was good at it. Yes, baby, you be open and honest with your husband. Y'all can combine, but you need to have a little bit on the side just in case. And so that she drove that into my brain. And so even if it's $500, I don't know what could happen. I know I got some money somewhere. And she did because she had money all over the place. We found money in shoe boxes she never opened. Mm. So sometimes it's something that we're taught. It can be unlearned, especially if you get with someone that you trust. And, you know, I look forward to getting, you know, getting married to someone that I can say, hey, babe, here's everything that I have. And I have a secret stash, too, just so that you know. And he's okay with that.
Yeah, but, well, and because that was my question, it's one thing for you to have a secret stash until it's no longer secret, but not because you told him or her, but because he or she saw, you know, an envelope from a bank that they weren't right. familiar with, and then... as the young folks say, it's a conversation. You know, you know, it's a situation and a conversation. Yeah. And so that's it. And so I think that sounds like one of the risky things.
Recovery is always difficult when a person feels like the person hasn't been honest with them. I mean, mm-hmm. When trust is violated, it takes a lot of work. Trust is the security that I put into consistent behavior. Mm-hmm. And if you have an inconsistent life in any way because, you know, you've been kind of living this life, I need to know what that means.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but also respect the fact that there's some couples that are in relationships right now, especially that are savers, avid savers. They don't like losing their money, and their husband, their husbands or their wives are avid spenders, and they're afraid of losing their money. And that will always trigger a saver to have a stash. Okay. They're always going to stash their cash somewhere that nobody knows about because they're afraid of someone spending their money. That is just a reality. And until you all can have a conversation about, you know, these are my concerns, this is what I'm worried about, that saver is probably going to have a stash.
So I have a question from a listener. Her name is Winnie. Now, Winnie says, what advice do you give to a woman who likes a man for his character and how he treats her, but he is not financially stable, no regular income, savings, or retirement, and is in his 40s. James, I'll let you start with that.
Yeah, I'll let you start with that.
I was just hoping that we had that connection. You was going to jump in. You know, I really do think that she's going to have to take some time to understand why he's not that. I mean, is it because he was never taught it? Does he have a desire to learn? You know, finances are important. They are important. And I just don't think, you know, no one wants to jump on board a sinking ship. And if you're already going down,
Don't take me with you.
I just think we got to understand, why are you not this way? Is it just because you don't have discipline? Are you interested in developing discipline, or do you just not care?
But is that a conversation, or is that the thought that you keep to yourself?
It's a conversation.
It's definitely a conversation.
Okay. What do you say, Tara?
It has to be a conversation. She's going to have that conversation because she's going to end up being the sugar mama. And if that's her stilo and that's what she wants to do, then fine. But if that's not, then she's going to have that crucial conversation at some point. Because, you know, I get it. You find a man that can give you what you need emotionally. Sometimes we decide that the financial thing is not important until financial things happen. So you're going to have that conversation, like he said, to find out why is he like that? Why is he doing that? And why is money or financial security not important to him, especially in his 40s?
Mm. Tara, what is the the most difficult issue for couples when it comes to addressing money as they move closer and closer to marriage?
Well, it depends, again, on the language, but the biggest thing is the debt. You know, what the debt load is. And when someone has a larger debt load, they are usually not all the way forthright, or they are scared to be forthright. And then all of it comes out. You know, like you said, you have that $40,000 you owe the IRS that you just forgot to mention during your conversations. And then when the IRS decides to attach your wages and freeze all your joint bank accounts, that's when you want to have the conversation. And I find that people are afraid to have that conversation about debt. And so my whole thing is, don't really just focus on how much debt you have. Let's focus on how we're going to kill the debt, how we're going to detonate the debt, and have that conversation. I think that once you start feeling I love you, or saying I love you, that's when we need to start talking about the numbers, not just the financial. You know, you talk about your high blood pressure. Are you that sick? Because I need to know, are you going to die as soon as you get married? You know, your numbers as far as when you want to retire, your numbers that are in your bank account and your credit score. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, that was the next point. Credit scores. There is so much conversation right now and publicity, I would say, about financial literacy. I think one of the reality TV shows, Love and Marriage in Huntsville, one of the people on the show, he always has a shirt that says 750 credit score or something like that. But you know, they're married. He's married. But when should you reveal your credit score, Tara, to someone? Is that also, you know, I can just see now, you're sitting, you like, what's the guy's name? Mike.
Yeah.
He's been dating this lady for 7 months, and she's a spender. And he says, well, you know, I have, my credit score is 770 or 780, and she's a spender, and, you know, no shade, but I can just see her saying, I'll have another order of the filet mignon, please.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think, again, when you start feeling I love you, start wanting to say I love you, then you need to start having that conversation now before it gets too deep. Because you don't want to have the conversation when you're engaged, send out the invitations, and all of a sudden you want to have the invitation, and you decide, nah, I don't think I want to do this one. So better earlier than, you know, after or when you're feeling the I love you stage, I think this might be the one. Anything too soon for that, and we just tell them, let us put it this way. If what you're feeling starts with an L and ends with an E, let's talk about it. If it ends with a T, you ain't ready yet. Because
well, wait a minute. What's the second one? Hold on. I got the first one. What's the second one?
Lust.
Lust. Okay.
Yeah. I am so in lust with you, we probably ain't ready to have the conversation, because I can be in lust with somebody else later. You know? That's just a reality. Because at that point in the lust stage, if I say, you know what, your credit score is 750, but mine's 540, the 750 can change that lust very quickly and be like, nah, I'm good. We out. But when it comes to the love, okay, then let's talk about how to fix it. Because the credit score is not, it makes no difference for me. People can clean their credit and have a 750 for 6 months, and then the stuff comes back. People can have a 750 and then it goes to 500 because they miss one or two payments, or life happens. So credit score doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is, are you fiscally bilingual, or can you sustain a household? Do you have enough money? Can you pay the bills? Because I'm not in it to be a sugar mama. The way my bills are set up, I just don't want to do it.
Yes, Winnie just said the same thing.
You're going to live her life.
She just said the same thing. Go right ahead.
You know, one of the things I was going to go back to when Tara was talking about debt, I think it's really interesting when it comes to debt and relationships, that most couples come together and they say, we want to be one. We want to be one on everything. And they want to be one when it comes to their events. We want to be one when it comes to our friends. We want to be one in every area. But most people don't want to be one when it comes to their finances. And it's so interesting because if we're going to become one, that means that possibly your debt becomes my debt and my debt becomes your debt. But if I don't want to be, if I don't want your debt, you know, then how can we become one? You know, so a lot of couples go through this really difficult spot because they're used to being one in all these areas, one in parenting, one in where we're going to live and all that stuff. But when it comes to their finances, you know, and it goes back to that old, it's like a verse that says where your treasure is there, your heart is also, you know. It's so if my treasure is like over here and your treasure is over there, then sometimes maybe our hearts are in two different places.
And I agree with you on that one, but keep in mind, that, and this is how deep money is in relationships. They will talk about who they slept with, how many partners they've had, if they've had STDs. They'll have go and have ACE tests together, but they don't want to talk about their crappy credit. They don't want to talk about the fact they don't have any money saved and they're 50. They, you know, they don't want to have that conversation. So we'll talk about the physical and emotional side of relationships, but God forbid we have the conversation about finances. That's why I wrote the book Financial Fornication, because I figured if sex can sell a cheeseburger, it damn sure can sell financial literacy. And it just so happens that it does. Anytime that we combine those two together, that's when people are open enough to say, oh, okay. That's the scary part.
Right, right. It's like a person that goes to a car dealership and they fall in love with the car, but they never stop to ask, what's the payment on this? And can I afford the payment on this? And then, you know, the whole credit score thing comes up, you know, because you can't even get the loan, you know, for this. But if people will slow down enough to really understand the financial picture before they, quote unquote, fall head over heels, then maybe they may discover I'm shopping on the wrong lot here.
So, well, in the same respect, right? Using the same analogy about the going to the car, getting in the car, the new car smell, which is designed to hypnotize you, right? And then you want to talk about the payment. And at that point, you really don't care what the payment is. You don't care if you're paying 20%.
Right.
You just want the car. It's the same thing about relationships with men. That's why, and women, that's why you should get to know them, have a conversation with them before you start having sex with them. Because once you have sex with them, all of a sudden everything gets really blurry, and then you start saying, oh, well, the finances ain't that bad. Oh, well, when he raises his voice at me, it ain't that bad. So it's the same respect.
Well,
if you want healthy relationships, we got to do the right thing first.
Which brings me to this. And I need both of you to respond to this, because the example that James just used about, you know, you fall in love with the car and the new smell and everything else. And I think when we're talking about people who may be dating and looking to get married, and this is as it relates to men and women, but often men will look at a woman and she's a fancy girl and he says, in his head, what's the payment on this? and you know, and can he afford that? And some women, and you know this, Tara, will say, well, I afforded this before I met you, but there seems to be a conflict with whether or not he can afford to keep her in the way that she's keeping herself, and she's wondering, you know, why should he have to worry about this? Because I've been keeping myself in this way without you. James, your thoughts about this in this last,
you know,
4 minutes or so.
I definitely think, you know, for us as guys, finances and respect go really hand in hand. That's why you see a lot of guys on the videos, on TV, they want to show off how much money I have, because the more money I have, the more respect I get. But if I see a woman who potentially may have more money than me, or I can't help her financially, then sometimes guys get in their heads and they begin to think, she's not going to respect me. You know, I'm not going to be respect worthy to her. And they kind of get in their own heads about that, because that's not always the case. But, you know, respect and money in a man's eyes just go really hand in hand. And so that's why so many guys will be like, oh, you know, I would get married to you, but I got to wait till I get my money right and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because in their minds, the more money I have, the more respect I'll get. And, you know, at the end of the day, we as men, we want respect.
And from your perspective, Tara, your thoughts about that?
In my perspective, money and stability go hand in hand, right? So I need stability. I need to know I'm not going to be destitute. I need to know I'm a big girl. I like to eat. You know, there's some baseline things. My Achilles heel is worrying about money or not having enough money because I've been there before, and I never want to go there again, and I damn sure don't want to go there with a potential mate. So I need to make sure that we have some things in place. He has some things in place. I have some things in place. So just like money and respect go hand in hand for you, money and stability usually goes hand in hand for women. And when you don't have enough money, now we get scared. Because will he be able to hold it down? He wants to be the man of the house. He wants to control everything. He wants to do this. But can he sustain the household?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And then there comes the question, and again, we're talking about, you know, those people who were dating. If he wants to provide financial security, he may consider himself frugal. You may think he's cheap. Does that also create a problem? Real quick, I've got 30 seconds.
It can definitely create a problem. Definitely create a problem. We got to understand that at the end of the day, differences don't have to be divisive. But a lot of times our differences can become so divisive because we don't try to really work through the differences to find out what's the win-win scenario.
Real quick, Tara, last word.
Communication is key. If you're not talking about it, it's always going to be a problem.
Tara Jackson, James Marshall, thank you so much for talking to us. Information about my guests will be on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight, including the podcast. I highly encourage you to listen again. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tomorrow, we're talking about men and romance. Are they romantic? Stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.